2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Let us read this morning. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, bless the reading of your word. Just take the offering this morning of the sinner, the pastor before you, and pray that you would multiply this, be glorified through the foolishness of the message preached. I come as the pastor believing this message, dear God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would impress the truth of this passage upon every soul here, that they would believe this message and be encouraged. We have the treasure, dear God, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God and not of ourselves. Be glorified today. Give us faith. Give us the eyes to see the reality of this text. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 1 through 5 of this passage we covered last week in great detail really form the foundation of not losing heart in life and in ministry. Even though the outer man is decaying, what does that mean? We're marching toward the grave together. There's no stopping it. No medicine, no hospital, no doctor. Together we're on a journey. Some will reach the destination before others. For our precious little baby this morning, perhaps she will live 100 years by God's grace or more. For others, we may come to the end of this life today. But we all have commonality. The outer man is decaying. In the body, in the physical life, things are getting worse because of the curse, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Ministry in this body for the glory of God, it is beyond what anyone can endure in the flesh. It's beyond explanation. Real ministry for the glory of God, it is so very difficult because of the curse of sin. But we are being renewed in the inner man, related to what awaits us together, Christian. And so in order to not give up, in order to not give in order to not lose heart, in order to not become discouraged in life and ministry, we have to believe, we have to reckon verses 1 through 5 as real and true and literal, a promise from God who cannot lie. The message last week, verses 1 through 5, so critical. And for many people today, in and out of churches, the message of verses 1 through 5, it's just a religious creed. It's just a sermon, it's just a religious saying, it's just a religious philosophy. For many people this morning, they don't really believe the text that I just read. What a tragedy. And to be honest, the pastor can't make you believe this. Pastor can't give you the eyes of faith And for many people, they're simply looking at this world, this life, this body, as if this is all there is. On the contrary, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And so the message last week, as we review this morning, perhaps the most important message the church has to offer the Christian. As we have already placed our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, now we're trying to live for the glory of God on our way to the heavenly city. For the message last week is a safeguard to not lose heart in your life and your ministry. In addition, let's talk about the importance of this context just for a moment or two. It's very easy to miss this context. We can't imagine today how difficult it was in the primitive early New Testament church. Post-resurrection, as the apostles started their ministry, as the churches were formed in their primitive apostolic state, there was great temptation for people to lose heart, to give up, to give in, to relent. Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken us. They went out from us because they were not of us. Life was so hard for the Christian in the early centuries. And when people lose heart, the Apostle Paul understood this. When people lose heart in life and ministry, they no longer have any effect whatsoever for the glory of God. They no longer bear fruit. Rather than building up the body of Christ, they have the opposite effect. They take life out of the body of Christ. They discourage the body. And so the message last week, as we review verses 1 through 5, the fact that we have a resurrection body to look forward to when this earthly body is no more, this message will be opposed by your flesh. It will be opposed by the world we live in. It will be opposed by countless people you know. The enemy of God works to make truth irrelevant in the world. The physical body, the unredeemed part of you, opposes this as well. Every willful sin, every act of disobedience, every hypocrisy, every compromise, every worldly thought and endeavor, all of these things are like soldiers under the command of Satan, fighting to the death to keep you from believing this. Praise God, we have the Holy Spirit given to the believer, verse 5. At the moment of true conversion, we have the new birth, and we have the seal of promise, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit has been called the resident truth teacher. God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to keep you in the faith, to remind you, to teach you the truth. The promises of God are true. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of heaven, the engine that drives the wheel of your Christian perseverance. But believer, you have to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit via the Word of God. You have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, or your flesh will begin to fill your thoughts. You'll be conformed to this world. In other words, to really move toward the faith and assurance of Paul. And that's really the thesis, beloved, of this passage today. The thesis of our text today is that God wants you to move toward the faith and the assurance of the Apostle Paul in this paragraph. Let me remind you, there's no mystical teaching that I have to offer you on this subject. There's nothing new that I have to say to you about this subject today. God has given us a promise in His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to witness to that promise. And as we're filled each day with the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God dwells in us richly, I don't have anything to add to this truth. I don't have a new illustration that's going to make this click. We don't have a different message for young people or the younger generation. We don't have a different message for the healthy versus the sick. We don't have another message for the rich versus the poor. We don't have one message for young married couples who have the world ahead of them and older couples who are about to lose a loved one. God is true. His promises are true. The earthly tent, which is your house, is being torn down. That is true. Christian, you have a building from God. You have a resurrection body to look forward to. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Spirit of God has been given to you, believer, to believe that message. Now you must yield to the truth. You must cultivate the truth. You must renew your mind with the Word of God and be committed to the things of God, seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Our text today, the new ground, verses 6 through 8, has been called the pinnacle of heavenly expectation. I just love that when I found that during the week. The pinnacle of heavenly expectation is before us today. And the goal of our message is that you would be moved by the Spirit of God to be like the Apostle Paul and have a true heavenly expectation to look forward to. I want to begin with you in verse 6. Let's read verse 6. This is the new ground this morning, verse 6. All of that was review to bring us back toward this topic. Verse 6, therefore. It's referring back to everything we just said in our introduction by way of review, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, because it's all true, because it's literal, because it's real, because the resurrection body is your promise from God, being always of good courage. Look at that next phrase with me. It's fascinating in verse 6. I love this. Being always of good courage. We live in a day, we live in a time, we live in a generation where courage has died a slow death. Terry was just sharing with me some thoughts during the week. She was reading something, and she was sharing it with me about how men no longer have the virtue of manly courage like we used to have in days gone by. And everyone is so weak, and everyone is so fearful, and everyone is so consumed with fear. Paul says in verse 6, look at it with me, being always of good courage. Love it. Courage is a concept that we really struggle with today as believers. Given all of our civil liberty, given all of our freedom. For the most part this morning, we have an absence of fear related to any type of threat to our physical body for practicing our faith. That is true this morning, still in our country today. I don't feel any fear of someone coming in the church and harming me or hurting me. And I think you should feel that as well. This literal sense of fearlessness. We have relative safety and security today as believers like no Christian in the history of the world. And to be honest, we don't have a lot of examples we can point to and say, wow, There's a Christian of courage. I see it live before my eyes. I want to be like them. This whole situation in the last year and a half has just given testimony and witness to the point that we're trying to make. When whole churches stop doing what God has told us to do for fear of getting sick or the fear of the government giving us some consequence, that betrays any type of courage the Bible speaks about. Paul had courage as a Christian. I commend to you this morning, beloved, as days get darker and times get more difficult, pray God that we would have courage to live and practice our faith. Paul had courage. Courage is the state of mind born of conviction in the heart that says, I can make it through this circumstance without any type of debilitating, paralyzing fear. This is courage. Courage has fallen on hard times in our land. For Paul, it was the good courage to face the executioner for preaching Christ, for believing in Christ, for being an apostle of Christ. We don't understand that. We don't relate to that. We don't face the executioner this morning for being here, at least not yet, not this morning. Perhaps it will come. We don't face the fire and the flame as the early believers did. We don't face the stake as the martyrs did. Paul had this courage. And this courage was the result of knowing and believing. Look at verse 6, the rest of verse 6. Look at it with me. Courage must be born in conviction. What is the conviction? Verse 6. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Do you see that? Today, you have fellowship, Christian, with God as the Holy Spirit indwells you. As you abide in Christ and Christ abides in you, you have fellowship with God. Praise God. But ultimately, to be in the literal presence of Christ, to be in the presence of God, you have to be absent from your sinful body, your members in which you have committed sin. You must be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. For Paul, try not to miss this. For the Apostle Paul, this courage that he had, it was born out of conviction. This courage for Paul allowed him to say and believe. And I promise you, few can say this and believe this today. Few people I have met. I prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. This is the cry of one who loves God more than anything else. You see this exact same attitude in the lives of these precious Old Testament saints. And I was thinking about a couple of these examples. Please turn with me to Psalm 42. Let me show you this in the Old Covenant context. And these are very familiar passages, but they'll bless your soul today. Psalm 42. And these precious ones in the Old Covenant, pre the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they had this exact same attitude. They believed by faith that it was all real. And you really see this principle come forth in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms, the idea that these men hunger and thirsted for God. Psalm 42, verse 1. These are very familiar passages, I realize that, but you cannot improve upon this as an illustration. This is the goal, that the Holy Spirit would move us toward this attitude. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember when I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Look at, turn over to the right to Psalm 63. You have the exact same theme in Psalm 63. Again, Psalm 63 is attributed to David. He displayed this attitude, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Do you know one Christian who you can say, you know, that person exemplifies Psalm 63:1. Their soul thirsts for God. Their flesh yearns for God. In this land that we live in where there is no spiritual water, I know this one person who really loves God. And it isn't religiosity. It isn't a fake and a fraud. You know someone like that? Examples are few and far between. Verse 2, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. This is a tremendous parallel passage. Because your loving kindness is better than life in this world, in this body, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is the cry of a man who loves God. Glorious. Turn over to the right to Psalm 73. The summary of all of this, I believe, is Psalm 73, verse 25. If you've never come across this, this is going to bless your soul. Psalm 73, 25. A number of years ago, I came across this verse, and it's impactful. Related to our subject matter at hand, I prefer rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. This is such a difficult concept to try to proclaim and teach. You really see it exemplified in the psalmist here. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Glorious. This is the cry of a genuine believer who loves God, who longs to be with God. There's nothing on earth they desire. They desire God, who is in heaven. They want to be with Him in His presence. Very interesting, the writer of Hebrews is interacting very much in an old covenant mindset. He's speaking to Hebrews, to Jews who knew the old covenant, who knew the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews uses that language that we as believers are strangers and exiles on the earth. The writer of Hebrews talks about a heavenly city, a heavenly country. Peter uses the exact same language, calling believers aliens and strangers. 1 Peter 2:11. It's been well said, only in heaven will believers have intimate, unbroken fellowship with God. And for those of us who have fellowship with God through the Word and prayer, praise God, we have it, we get a foretaste of it. But to have unbroken fellowship with God, we have to be absent from the body. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Go forward, please. Go back to 2 Corinthians. We'll come to conclusion. Look at 2 Corinthians, please, back there with me, chapter 5. Look at verse 7. I love this. The Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God makes it easy for the Bible teacher, the true Bible teacher. God knows that we can't handle these great subjects as men, that will fail and falter and fall short. So God is so clear. His Word is so supernaturally inspired. The clarity is overwhelming. Look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I can't transport us up to heaven on the rocket so we can get a look at it. I can't tell you that I've been there and this is what it's like. And by the way, anytime you hear someone, boy, you run from that. You hear people talking about their 30 minutes in heaven. Let me tell you what it was like. You run from that when you hear people say that. If it's not the Word of God, you have no way on earth to trust that. And that's the type of teaching we hear today on heaven. Oh, so-and-so died and he went to heaven. Let me tell you what heaven was like. You have to be kidding. The Word of God alone is truth. It verifies the truthfulness of God. And if someone's testimony does not match the Word of God, it is not true. Look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I love this. We call this a parenthetical. It's a great word. It's a fancy word that means this further explains what has immediately preceded it. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, faith is the backbone that holds all of this together. Faith is the foundation of the heavenly expectation. Everything in the Christian life, it starts and ends, doesn't it, with faith? My faith alone justifies me. My faith alone declares me righteous. Not my works, not my sincerity, not my preaching, not my goodness, not my prayer time, not my giving, not my sacrifice. Faith alone justifies. We'll talk about it next week. Faith alone declares the Christian righteous before a holy God. Faith alone sanctifies the Christian, conforms us to the image of Christ. What is faith? Well, the Bible tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the conviction of things I do not yet see. Faith is not seen. I can't show you what I believe. Faith is the gift of God. It's a gift that saves us. It gives us forgiveness of sins. Faith gives us eyes to see what other people cannot see this morning. We live, we walk by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me, who promised to prepare a place for me, who promised that everyone who lives and believes in Jesus will never die. Look at verse 8. We close. And beloved, we often neglect in the ministry the principle of faith. If you're struggling this morning to believe the Word of God, to believe in heaven, to believe in the forgiveness of sins, to believe that Jesus is Lord, that He died and rose from the grave, that heaven is real, if you are having trouble believing the promises of God, God asks you to come and believe that the promises are true. Faith is the backbone of everything in the Christian life. Look at verse 8. We close. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. We close right here. Here's our phrase again, courage. We are of good courage. It's the second time the Holy Spirit uses this in the context. Very interesting footnote. We are of good courage today. What does that mean? For Paul, it was real. The Lord Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, salvation by grace through faith alone, the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the promise of a new resurrection body, the reality of heaven, the fact that heaven is immeasurably greater than anything I'll ever experience on earth. The heavenly relationship with God, fellowship with God, is greater than any fellowship or relationship I'll ever have on earth with another person. Paul believed it by faith. And so the only conclusion of this conviction of the heart is, I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. The note in my study Bible is wonderfully simple. Because heaven is a better place than earth, Paul would rather be there with God. Can you say that today? Can we say that today together as individuals and as believers? Because heaven is a better place than earth, we would rather be there with God. If you read Christian writers through the centuries, this was the constant theme that they wrote about. Not so much anymore. So much of what has been written in the last 50 to 100 years is about what I do in this world, how I have a better life now. In fact, how you can have your best... I'm sorry I even said that. How you can have your best life now. Such heresy. I prefer to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You read the writers of old. You spend some time reading those glorious Christians through the centuries. I was just thinking about the final page of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian's on his way to heaven. He's on his way to the celestial city. And the last thing he has to face is the raging river. And if you're like me, I mean, I'm afraid of the water. So I really, that just registered with me. And he had to walk across the river to make it to the celestial city. And he had courage and he had faith to walk across. And the joy that he experienced when he crossed through the river was unspeakable. That final page is like nothing that's ever been written outside the Bible, in my opinion. And that, beloved, is going to be your experience as well. You're going to have to walk across the river. And your loved one is going to have to walk across the raging river to make it to the celestial city. There's no escaping. There's no escaping going through that water. The psalmist called it the valley of the shadow of death. Some people go through that valley and that river sleeping. Some people go through it drugged up. Some people go through it unconscious. Some people go through it in an accident. Some people go through it in a terrible, painful tragedy. But everyone's going through it. Be of good courage this morning. Believe the promise of God is true and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, do the work of increasing our faith, and for one, that you would grant them the gift of faith to see that this is real, not religion, not sermonizing, not hypocrisy, not manipulating people's emotions, but we have a promise from God that is true. Dear God, help us to believe, help us to be of good courage this morning. Walk by faith, not by sight. I pray for your precious ones that this word would fall on the good soil. Do not let the enemy of God snatch this word from the soil of the heart that is here today. And let us prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.